You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
It's 6 o'clock on Dukes and Bell, the number one sports talk show in Atlanta for your ride home.
You strong? They said, I'm strong if you strong. And I said, we strong then.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Glad to have you listening on a Falcon Monday to Dukes and Bell. And we hope that you listen all 5 hours. But if you don't, we wish you did. And by the way, try our Hey Man L. It's in stores, guys. And appreciate all the people texting and tweeting and hitting us up over the weekend, enjoying a Hey Man L. It was a beautiful weekend. And I know a lot of stuff was going on around town. So thanks to all the men and women, ladies as well. Everybody's enjoying the Hey Man.
Had enough Hey Man for 18 holes this time. My game was much better.
Good.
Finished. That's a lie. I still lie.
Six. You took a 12?
I got a bunch of Dayglow yellow Callaways all over St. Marlowe, so somebody, you'll find them and enjoy. But anyway, yeah, man, had a good time. Bunker had a couple of birdies. Yeah. Gotta stop playing with Bunker, man. It makes you look real bad. Hey, man, a couple of things. And by the way, you mentioned the beer. We're going to be out on this Friday, I should say, at Twin Peaks Kennesaw with the beer. It's on draft, so you got a chance if you can't find it, but now you should be able to because it's everywhere. Come in and have some ice cold Hey Man with us on Friday. Hey, before we get to the big story, Mercedes Benz on Sunday. Very emotional moment before the game. Dan Quinn talked about it to start his press conference. The Falcons dedicated this win and this game against the Buccaneers on Sunday to the Pike County High School player Dylan Thomas, who died as a result of an injury in the game. Remember, he died a few days later, and the family was there. All his teammates were there on the goal line. It really was just a real emotional moment. And when they showed the parents on the big screen, everybody was kind of like starting to blubber. But very classy by Dan Quinn and the Falcons, and obviously, thoughts and prayers continue for the family after losing their son.
Yeah, this is one area, you know, and we talk a lot about the football aspect of things because that's what we do. But Coach Quinn has been, you know, ahead of the game and ahead of the curve on many of these ideas and as far as tributes and giving back to the military. And Mike, things like this that happen in our community where the Falcons realize how important it is. So I give the Falcons organization and Coach Quinn big kudos for that. If you did get a chance to see it, as Mike said, if you were in your seat Sunday. Hey, we're going to get to the top three at six, guys. Talking a lot today about this win because it is a big one. And I know, you know, for some Falcon fans and some folks around the country, and I got it from friends going, well, y'all barely won. It's a win in the National Football League. I don't care if it was by 1 point, half a point. It doesn't matter. It's hard to win in this league, and especially the way we're banged up.
Look, the Steelers just beat us. They beat the brakes off us, especially in the second half, and there's no way to kind of spin that one, although you certainly were in it at halftime. But the Saints and the Bengals games that could have gone either way, our young guys just weren't up to the task on defense, couldn't get the stop. We feel this is unfortunately going to be the business model, at least until Debo gets back in the mix. But the Bucs game, much like what we're going to see probably against the Giants, because Saquon Barkley is going to be a hard dude to get on the ground and tackle, the defense is going to give up points. But Matt Ryan has been unbelievable. And certainly if this team, you know, as you said, had a few more wins, he would already be in the MVP conversation. Because Matt's doing it, let's be honest, guys, without really a strong running game. You know, 22 carries for 70 yards. That's not exactly how you do it in the NFL. Mets had to go for almost 3.5 every single game and not throw picks.
Yeah, when you look at the numbers, it is startling to think that for the last four games, he's not had a pick. He's got 14 touchdowns, 2 interceptions, but no picks in the last four games. Almost 2,000 yards already, and his passer rating's off the chart, and 69% completion rate. We talk about this. You know, if you're not over that 60%, you're not really doing anything. He's he's really at 70. It's 69.6 or something like that. So Matt's having a really, really good start to what could be a special season for him. Unfortunately, not getting the recognition. I know he doesn't care about that, but for all the critics who talk about our quarterback, and he's had a bad game or two, there's no doubt. But when we asked him to play better, Mike, he stepped his game up.
And remember after last year with the production that went just in the toilet, you know, Matt went 20 touchdowns and the picks were up. He's on pace now to get back to that MVP caliber year with 38 touchdowns and get up there around Drew Brees territory with 5,000 yards in the air.
All right, man, it is Dukes and Bell. We invite you to follow us across all social media platforms. If you don't like the station or you haven't already on Facebook.
You better have.
Yeah, man, check that little mark and like us on Facebook, 92.9 The Game. Follow Mike at Mike Bell, ATL on the Twitter. I'm at Put 'em Up, see Dukes, and follow the radio show at Dukes and Bell 929. You can follow us on the gram as well.
And speaking of the Twitter, we were mentioning earlier, I said, hope we can find a competent kicker to fill in for Matt Bryan. I said, Matt is not your average kicker. He's clutch and he's tough. And I hit that at Melissa Bryan, his wife. I said, time for some deep tissue massage there, Melissa. Get your man right for some football as he's not going to play this week. She hit us back and I don't want to put their business out there, but since Melissa shared it on Twitter, I feel I can share it with you. They got a lot going on in the Bryan household. Apparently, one one of their little ones having some trouble with headaches, so they're going to go take him for an MRI. So thoughts and prayers for the Bryants as well, because obviously they've got such a huge family and such a, just great folks.
Good stuff, man. Let's get to the top three.
Time for Dukes and Bell, top three. The top three stories of the day.
Can I count it off?
Top three at six, brought to you by Dixie Vodka, guys. It's football season. That means tailgating. A true Southern tailgate isn't complete without Dixie Vodka. Visit DixieVodka.com. That's Dixie Vodka, made in America, raised in the South. Speaking of the injury situation, you just heard Matt Bryant. He is not going to play Monday night. Now, sources had told me early in the day he'd be out 2 to 3 weeks. Coach Quinn said this today as far as Matt Bryant not being available for Monday's game, Mike. So we'll play it week to week, but I think it's going to be a few weeks. And remember, we play Giants, then you get the bye, then you get Redskins. That could easily be 3 weeks, and that he could possibly be back on November 4th. The other guy we found out that is out is Devontae Freeman. Now, I said it Friday. I'm concerned, but I'm not sure how to deal with this because as a fan, I am just wanting to get the return on the investment.
Right.
Okay? We paid Free a lot of money. I think Free is still a very good back in this league. I don't think he's washed up or past his prime or any of that. But he's not been healthy enough for him to help this football team consistently, Mike. I'm not worried because Ito Smith has done a great job, and we'll talk more about that in this win, and so has Tevin Coleman. But what's going on with Free? Because he's already been ruled out now for Monday night's game.
Yeah, you know, the ankle injury, and then we found out it was a foot injury this time around, that it was become a groin injury. I mean, if the guy keeps this up with the injuries, I mean, I don't know how you're going to keep him on the roster next year. I mean, you're gonna have to really do some soul searching. We've talked about this a few times, Carl. Get him to take a restructured deal, which I don't know if his people will feel strongly about one way or the other, because you cannot continue this contract like this if you can't get on the field. You know, and then you take your dead cap hit and move on. But right now, and I did say last week, I thought there was a part for Freeman to play on this offense. Well, Coleman certainly did his job in better pass protection than last week against Pittsburgh. And Ito Smith has certainly become a pleasant surprise. I think is he the first Falcon rookie to have three touchdowns as a running back 3 weeks in a row?
Rushing. He is. It's the first one to do it. And with that said, I mean, he only had 11 carries for 22 yards, but he did have the touchdown. It's just about doing your part. You know, and as you said, we're running the ball enough to keep teams honest. Real quick, we did not talk about this in the Falcon Report at 5, but I got to give a big shout-out to DeMonte KZ. I love this guy, man. Mm-hmm. I like that he's making plays. We talk about it. Some guys are in the right place, but they don't finish plays. KZ finishes plays. He had another pick yesterday. So did our man Brian Poole. So there were a lot of plays, Mike, that were made, but none bigger than this one.
This is going to be 57 yards for Bryant. Snap from Harris. Spot Bosher. Try is away, and it is going to be good.
That was a 57-yard field goal. That was the difference.
An emotionally drained Wes Drewham.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, listen, Matt Bryant, and we mentioned this, you know, he pulls his or strains his hamstring on that play, but man, that made the difference for them not to have to go down and kick a field goal and win the game.
Game balls to Dan Quinn and Matt Bryant because there's some big attachments to go for it there. 57-yarder. If you don't, you just said it. They can right down a field, kick a field goal, eat clock, and we never see the ball again. And we're going to deal with like that Saints or that Bengals type dynamic. So big, I mean, what they always say, the margin for this small, right?
It is.
Well, about this much between that ball getting over the crossbar. But either way, big win. You stop the bleeding. You're feeling good about yourself because Carolina lost this week in the NFC. Saints had the week off. Tampa Bay, by the way, we've gotten Mike Smith fired twice now, have the Falcons. Smitty gets the axe from his good buddy Dirk Cutter said it's the second hardest thing. Apparently he lost a player when he was coaching at Boise State back when. But the good buddies for many years, Dirk Cutter's got to cut his guy loose.
A couple of other injury updates. Coach Dan Quinn today saying Sanu hopeful. Remember he left the game yesterday, hip. Grady Jarrett, who did not play yesterday, hopeful that he'll play Monday night. Remember, the Falcons get an extra day. Calvin Ridley, the MRI came back clean, MRI that is. And the bone bruise is what they're saying it is. Hopeful for Monday night. We don't think we're going to see him. So, guys, if things go well for those guys, I think we're going to see those guys on the field against the Giants. And real quick, Mike, we will sign a kicker this week. We just don't know who that's going to be.
Yeah, there was the guy. Was it Georgia DeVecchio? What was the guy?
DeVecchio.
We had the kid here. And then there was the other dude from UGA that we had in for a minute who was a guy that lost his job to Blankenship. Was a transfer from Wofford. So they got a couple of guys. The one guy that a lot of guys keep bringing up to us was the former Auburn kicker. Is it Carlson? Is that the dude who had all the
Daniel Carlson?
Yeah,
yes.
I mean, he was money for Auburn. He got drafted in the fifth round by the Vikings, Carl, but he couldn't win the job, and they went back with Kai Forbath. But that dude might be out on the float. Big dude was money for Auburn for so many years.
Falcon Monday, powered by Xfinity. Xfinity X1 will change the way you experience TV. Hey, guys, story number two. Brian Snicker signs a two-year extension with the Braves. It's 2 years with an option for the Braves to be here through 2021. And he said he's just happy to get the support from these guys.
And I've said it just kind of validates everything that we're trying to do here, I'm trying to do. Because that's the big reason why I wanted to come back as the players. I mean, I love that group in that clubhouse and what we're doing here. The direction we're going, I think it's just going to continue to get better.
So do I. And now we need to see what adjustments as far as the roster is concerned and how they deal with the offseason. That's Alex Anthopoulos' job. But, Mike, this was not only the right thing to do, but you needed to go ahead and take care of it. We talk about it. You don't want to be a lame duck guy. He's not. You win the division. You overachieved, in my opinion, in a year where people thought you probably wouldn't make the playoffs. I'm happy with this decision.
I don't know what the percentage of Braves fans that were unhappy with some of Snicker's moves over the course of the season, how he handled his pitchers, maybe pulling guys too soon with some of the starters. But I know that we've seen all measure of text and social media about Snit. I said don't get too sentimental, but the players love the guy. You know, and Dave O'Brien from The Athletic told us a few weeks ago he thought that there'd be a mutiny if you didn't bring him back. So it's not disrespectful. It's not great, but it's 2 years with an option for the third, and we'll see where it goes.
Story number three is the Dogs and people reeling about the L. By the way, the AP, I'm talking about the rankings, has the Dogs at 8. It's Alabama, Ohio State, Clemson, Notre Dame. If the playoffs started today, those four would be in, but it doesn't. Followed by LSU at 5, Michigan at 6. Big win for them over Wisconsin. Texas at 7, Georgia, then Oklahoma with UCF rounding out the top 10. Now, again, this is the starting point. This doesn't mean this will be the exact way that the college football playoff rankings will look, but it's going to be very similar when we see those rankings, Mike.
Well, Notre Dame was certainly the fly in the ointment we've talked about. Their schedule, their strength of schedule is super solid. They would trump anybody who's a conference champ with one loss. They would, because they've got a strength of schedule. And even though, yes, it wasn't stylish against Pittsburgh and it required some late heroics from Ian Book once they got the blocking figured out, they lived dangerously against Vandy and Pitt. Next upset special, they got to go with Navy. Then they're at Northwestern up in Evanston. So maybe that's one of the tall grass they run up there. That perhaps Northwestern, Carl, could do everybody a solid and take out the Irish.
Yeah, it would be nice. The Dogs, by the way, play a top-ranked Florida team next. You got Kentucky. You got Auburn at home, and I know you're going, well, Auburn, but yes, but Auburn can play spoiler. You got to handle that. And then, of course, you could finish up in the SEC Championship, probably playing Bama. Maybe it's LSU. We don't know. Either way, it's all in front of you, as Kirby said, and that's the positive coming even after this loss.
But the Florida game is tough. Florida's got swagger, man. These guys, they got some confidence, feeling better now. Certainly with Dan Mullen, everybody kind of figuring out what they're supposed to be doing. They've got good defense. Maybe not as good as other defensive lines in the past for the Gators, but certainly they're able to handle LSU. So that game at the cocktail party, as you pointed out, in 2 weeks, not as easy as you might have thunk.
Nope.
But, no, man, and LSU, maybe they continue to get more and more confidence with Coach O. And certainly against Alabama, everybody would have Alabama as a touchdown or more favorite against LSU, but we'll see.
Here's Kirby talking about the fact that they did not meet their standard.
Their quarterback played really well. He got them in the right plays on a lot of run checks, and we didn't tackle real well defensively, which we've seen before. And then offensively, we couldn't get any rhythm in the second quarter. And it was frustrating all day. We had some plays where we missed some opportunities, but we didn't make the plays when we had to.
They did not. Real quick, I do want to mention Georgia Tech loses at home. It was homecoming to Duke. Paul Johnson, guys, frustrated. I was frustrated. 6 fumbles on the day.
I'm frustrated. We didn't play particularly well in the first half on offense. Thought we had made some good adjustments at halftime. Came out to start the second half with a horrendous special teams play. So, you know, there's a small margin of error. We can't win games where we turn the ball over. Today, we didn't do a very good job of it.
Special teams killed him in the USF loss, and now there's Duke loss. And I was talking to a bunch of, let's just say they were well-oiled Tech fans on homecoming that wandered by my place. And they were saying, Lane Kiffin. Okay. But wouldn't that be something? Wouldn't that put Georgia Tech back on the map? I mean, instant credibility. Fun offense to watch.
It's an exciting high.
I mean, look, it would never happen because they just probably don't operate that way. Who knows what they're doing over there? But I mean, they've got a lot of guys who committed big money to the athletic department, for the facilities, and Paul and the Jackets are not getting the job done.
Real quick, guys, ALCS tied at one. Boston Astros, also the NLCS. Brewers, Dodgers, also tied at one. Real quick, who just passed away?
You know, in the NFL, Alex Spanos, 95 years of age, the Chargers owner. He passed away earlier in the week. Couldn't get the stadium downtown in San Diego. And just now it broke this afternoon that Paul Allen, co-founder of Microsoft with Bill Gates, who also owns the Seattle Seahawks and the Portland Trailblazers, he passed away from, I guess, a form of cancer at age 65. Yeah, not a Hodgkin's lymphoma, taking a guy that was very super low-key, kind of behind the scenes, but was kind of coaxed out to get more involved with the Seahawks and won a championship under his ownership.
It is Dukes and Bell. Let's give you a chance to win $1,000 right now.
Now it's time to reveal our national signing bonus code word. The code word is...
Wander. Wander. W-A-N-D-E-R is the code word. 72881 is the number you texted to right now for your chance to win.
Like wander around.
That's correct.
Gotcha. W-A-N-D-E-R. You text that as our final word today for $1,000. Text that to 72881. Then answer the phone if somebody calls between now and 70, even if it's your wife. And you could win a grand. It's wonder, the word for the six.
He played a lot better over the last couple of weeks. He was the player segment today on the Coach's Show. You'll hear what Desmond Trufant had to say about the Falcons next.
Falcon Monday, powered by Xfinity. Xfinity X1 will change the way you experience TV.
And 92.9thegame.com.
Coming up, we've got our game winner in about 20 minutes. Mike and I have been talking a lot about the Falcons today on a Falcon Monday. And Dave and Wes, actually Wes Durham and Dave Archer, had a chance to catch up with Desmond Trufant in the player segment. First thing they asked Desmond, who played very well yesterday, I thought, was what'd you do in the offseason to get ready for the season?
Well, honestly, I just kind of just did what I always did, but just pushed myself even more, you know. You know, obviously I wasn't dealing with the injury,
right.
You know, because last offseason, you know, I had to change a lot of things how I approached it just because I was still coming back. But this year, you know, I felt I was good and I was just able to do what I normally do. And so, you know, it's paying off.
Take the fan through what it's like to be out there on the corner, because you truly are on an island out there, and it's kind of one battle after another against arguably, beside yourselves, you and Rocky in the corners, maybe the two best set of athletes going head-to-head, the receivers and the corners going head-to-head. What's your mindset when you line up and play out there? What do you got to think about when you get ready to play?
Well, I mean, first, I'm just, you know, you got to be – overflowing with confidence, you know, and because, you know, just kind of how the game set up, it's really not in your favor at my position. You know, it's a lot of things that can go against you you know what I mean? That's just the life it is. So, you know, regardless, so with that in mind, you know, sometimes bad things are going to happen. That's just what it is. But at the same time, I'm trying to dominate my matchup. You know, I'm trying to keep everything in front of me. If they challenge me, I'm trying to be there to make a play. They do catch a ball, you know, tackle them right away and then just line up next play, you know. So, and it's just you just got to bring that swagger every down because, you know, they going to test you more often than not.
Yeah, I just don't know that there's a position other than the quarterback position that's challenged as much mentally as your position is, because like you just said, you got to forget about what just happened, and it's got to happen like right now to get yourself ready so you don't get beat on the next play or you're ready to make a play.
Yeah, exactly, because, you know, the quickest way to lose a game on the defensive side is to give up the deep balls, you know, because it's a throwing league, so they're going to test you. But if you can limit the big plays, make plays on the ball, get turnovers, and, you know, keep everything in front, you know, it's a good day for you.
With Dave Archer, Wes Durham, Desmond Trufant with us in the Player Spotlight, the Dan Quinn Coaches Show here on 92.9 The Game. To that point, in some ways, now, I do the ball games with a quarterback, so I'm going to preface by saying, is it fair to measure a cornerback's success by interceptions?
I mean, it just depends on how you look at it.
I mean, is it fair today with as much throwing that, okay, there's got to be invariably more or less? See, I've always thought, like, you know, you got 9 career interceptions, and yet you're more impactful than 9 career interceptions. I'm just not sure it's a fair stat, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, there's different types of corners out there. There's corners that get, you know, double-digit picks a year, but, you know, they might give up, you know, just as many touchdowns a year just because they take more risks, which is cool. That's how they play. Or there's guys, you know, kind of like myself, you know, You know, I want to get the turnovers, but, you know, if they don't come, I'm going to lock my side of the field down. I'm going to make plays on the ball, and I'm not going to give up no yards or no touchdowns, you know, and it can be just as impactful. But, I mean, obviously I'm trying to get turnovers. That's what I'm trying to do. But, you know, it's different types of corners, and you just got to – whatever you're good at, just stick to it.
Desmond Trufant with us here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Well, True, you playing at an unbelievable level with kind of chaos going on around you. When you start looking about what's happened to you guys on that side of the ball, tell me how you guys have held it together over there. You look around. You and I talked the other night. You've kind of had to introduce yourself to a couple of people because they're not normally on the field with you. Tell me about how that's been.
Yeah, you know, it's definitely been an adjustment, you know, but, you know, it's part of the game. This definitely, you know, the first time since I've been here, we've dealt with it, you know, to this high of a, just to this extreme of a level, you know, but, you know, we've just had to adjust. Young guys have had to step up. Different people have had to come into roles. And, you know, we're just trying to make the most of it. I think we just got to keep finding what works for us, you know, and stick with that. And, you know, we just got to keep leading and making plays.
Des, does it make the week up leading up to a ball game more important? I mean, is it more valuable time, the meetings, the practice reps, those type deals?
Yeah, definitely. You got to make sure we're on the same page. I mean, obviously, when you got a chemistry with guys over years, you know, you just do things naturally, you know, without even having to talk to a guy, you know. But when you got new pieces in there, young guys in there, you really got to make sure we're on the same page, you know. Really got to be communicating. And, you know, but like I said, we just got to continue to find what works for us, and we'll be all right.
True, tell me about the weekly changeover you have to make. 2 weeks ago, you had to prepare for Antonio Brown, who's a different guy than Mike Evans is. 6'5", 2 whatever, and you got another guy that's a quicker guy. How much tape do you study? How much individual time do you spend? Because obviously you're not matching or traveling with a guy most of the time, but he is going to end up on your side at some point. What kind of preparation do you do that?
Well, yeah, I'm big on film. Film, it just gives me that it just kind of allows me to see things kind of before they happen. You know, obviously, you know, they can – I don't got a contract with the office. They can do what they do. But, you know, if I'm able to kind of, you know, predict what's coming my way, that allows me to play faster, you know. And when I'm studying – I study all the receivers because you said, you know, anybody can come to my size. So – and it's a lot of talent out there. So I'm looking at, you know, how guys release, how they – catch the ball, are they physical, do they use their hands, are they body catchers? Like, I mean, I'm looking at anything I could use to my advantage. And I kind of approach it, you know, depending on how the guy plays, that's kind of how I approach the week as far as like my technique, things like that. So yeah, tape is big for me.
What's fun for me to watch from my perspective on the offensive side of the ball, which is where I played, is to watch how you and Rocky have kind of gotten to where, okay, the picture's gotten bigger for you now. Now you guys are pattern reading. If the slot receiver does this, you're anticipating, and all of a sudden you're there to get the ball on the ground, knock the ball down, disrupt the play. That's been kind of fun to watch you guys grow. Has that been part of the process for you? You're now seeing a lot more of what's going on in the field.
Yeah, definitely. We're always talking about, you know, how we think the offense is going to attack us. And, like, me and Rocky, we always sharing notes, you know, always talking about, okay, this guy does this, and this formation, they do this. When they get to this spot on the field, they like to do this, you know, because, you know, we're seeing it the same way. We're just on opposite sides of the field, you know. So it's big just being year six. You know, the game has slowed down a lot, and I'm just, you know, just trying to make plays out there.
Real quick here in our final couple minutes, it's a long way to Monday night. I mean, you guys get a big week here, a nice week, heal up, rest a little bit, I'm guessing. But at the same time, also go back and kind of checks and balances on where you are and where you want to go. This is a big stretch for you guys.
Yeah. You know, it's a lot of football left. And, you know, we gotta make the most of it. We don't got no time to, you know, still be trying to find ourselves. You know, we just got to stick with what we're doing, find what works, and, you know, just believe in it and go out there and play. Play with energy, have fun, believe in each other. And I'm excited. You know, it's a challenge. You know, it's an uphill battle for us, and, you know, I'm ready for it.
Tell me about Marquand Manuel. We got about a minute and a half here. Marquand Manuel, who played defensive back in the league, is tell me about the value to that so that he can associate with some of the things you guys are having to go through in the secondary.
Yeah, it's definitely value when you have a coach that's been in your position before. And, you know, he can relate, you know, exactly to things that you're going through, positive or negative. You know, he feels this because he's lived it before. So it's just another just another calm that you can talk to somebody, you know, and say, okay, I seen it like this, and he understands exactly what I'm saying, you know. And we got a great relationship. We can always talk about things on the sidelines. We can hear him on the sideline because he's always screaming and yelling and stuff. So it's definitely big to have him in the room.
You excited about a Monday night game?
Definitely. Prime time.
Last year was Seattle on a Monday night. That was you kind of showed out that night a little bit.
Yeah, that was a good one for me. Definitely. Yeah, it's going to be a challenge. You know, they got some great receivers over there, so we just got to, you know, come with it like every week.
I think that's something, and I think a guy comes to play and play at a high level all the time, but if I remember correctly, some of these primetime games have been the biggest moments. True gets the scoop and score against the Packers last year on the ball out. Looking forward to a big game for you, man. Thanks for your time, and keep balling out because I think you're playing at a really high level right now.
All right, thanks. Appreciate it.
There he is, Desmond Trufant with the guys, Wes Durham and Dave Archer. It is Dukes and Bell, guys. Coming up, we're going to come up with a game winner idea. And by the way, it's organic. We never really come in, as we've said time and time again, and usually something happens during the day. But I will say this, after this three-game losing streak, Mike, and to finally snap it, as you said, stop the bleeding. Best win, man. Best win you've been a part of. Because coming off the weekend, there were some big upsets in college football, obviously. And we could talk about a lot of people every weekend. It's always like this. They're happy, folks. Mm-hmm. And then there are people who are not so happy. In the NFL, remember, half the teams lose. And there's some locker rooms and you know, dismay after on Sunday night.
Best win. How about best win of the week?
Best win.
All right, because there's a bunch out. Now, again, if you're an LSU fan, yeah, it's pretty obvious what you're feeling. Georgia fans, not so much. Duke, you've won, what, 4 of the last 5 against Georgia Tech. Wow, that's terrible. Also, you've got, from the NFL, Patriot, oh, my God, Mahomes had us on the ropes. And, of course, Tom Brady being Tom Brady, you could argue the Chiefs scored too soon. You know, best win or best game of the week. And there were plenty of them out there, guys. 404-741-0929. And, again, there's a game tonight. Is the real Aaron Rodgers going to show up? Some more injuries for the Packers? And, of course, the injury report came out after Uncle Mike put some money on Green Bay.
Oh, what's the injury report?
You don't want to know.
Today's question.
Some were saying the Patriots and the Chiefs last night was the best game of the year. What do you think the best game's been so far, college or pro? You got any ideas?
Well, yeah, I think the Red River Shootout was probably one of the best games so far. We could also talk about, I'm trying to go back to the beginning of the season with one of the kickoff games, right? Mm-hmm. I'm trying to remember which one it was, but. Yes. Thank you, Bo. Washington-Auburn right here in our backyard at Mercedes-Benz. That was a barn burner.
Oregon blew it against Stanford, but Washington, you could argue, blew it against Oregon. That was a heck of a game. Don't talk to Andy Bunker, by the way, tomorrow, guys, about his beloved Huskies. It was
ugly.
Oregon looked good, man.
Yeah.
They might have a shot here. I know they got one L, but.
Right. Against Stanford when they blew that lead, man.
Yeah.
Mario Cristobal, your former Miami assistant. Hey, man, you're on the radio, bro. What do you got for us?
KC and Boston, hands down, best game of the week. Yes, bang, another little weekend. Thank you.
All right, get that, discipline that dog in the background.
Wow, man. Come on, it might be dinner time, man. It's dinner time.
Boston Patriots. That's our guy Jeremiah, by the way. We do believe, Carl, he lives somewhere in the, somewhere west. We think Villa Rica, but perhaps. That's where the Jeremiah compound is on the train.
He's got a compound?
He's stopping by. Well, doesn't he sound like the kind of guy that would have a compound?
He does. Not to stereotype, but he does.
Hey, man, you're on the radio, bro. Best game of the of the week or a season so far?
Coach. So I'm from D.C., swam at LSU. I'm living in Atlanta now. Let me tell you what. My Skins and Tigers in Baton Rouge aren't always looking so great the past couple of years, but this week, it's been a week for me, guys. It's been a week for me. Best game, Skins.
Yeah, he's got a little Cajun.
Also, my Tigers.
I hear you, man. Go Tigers. The New Orleans accent, that accent is one of the most unique accents in the world. It really is, man. And there's other pockets of America where you get it. Remember Paul Warlow, the Falcons linebacker?
Sure.
He was from Delaware, but he had like that New Orleans accent, which didn't make a whole lot of sense. Hey,
he
man.
He sounded like a brother, to be honest with you.
Best game of the year.
He really did.
Or maybe it was this week. What do you got for us on the radio, Joe?
That's you?
He just freaked out. He hung up. We, you know, we went to moment of truth.
And by the way, we do not say coach. We say, hey, man.
Hey, man. Yeah, thank you.
Taylor Chief, yeah, thanks.
Thanks. Coach! Hey, man, you're on the radio, bro. What do you got?
Well, Dukes and Bill, Mike Smith 2.0 here. And I do agree that sacks are not overrated. I got a gig here at Whole Foods bagging groceries. Dilly dilly.
Come on, man. That's,
you know what people are saying around the league? The Falcons are soft. The Falcons are tough. Bull spit. You know what? Carl's trying to get me to do the Mike Smith impression. Mike Smith got fired. The Falcons have gotten Mike Smith fired twice now.
Well,
once as Falcons head coach, and now as the DC for the Bucs.
But he's been
very gracious with us.
No, he's been great, and he'll continue to be. Maybe we can get him on the show, Bo, but here's the deal. Come on.
Well, actually, I'm not working at Whole Foods.
Where are you
at? I'm just putting a resume in at Blockbuster.
Really? There's like three stores left in the country.
What's that?
There's only three stores left.
I was told there was one up here in Sugar Hill. Anyway, it is Dukes
and
Bell.
He does have a buyout, I'm sure, Bo. Listen.
He's always been great with us.
He's good. He's a good guy. The bottom line is he had all that talent on defense in Tampa. They drafted defense, and they didn't get it done.
I mean, I just feel bad because Cutter's like, Mike Smitty, you want to come in the office? Sure, Dirk, what's going on? Well, I got some bad news for you, Smitty. We're not going to Stuckey's.
Not after that performance. But by the way, remember, here's the irony for Falcon fans who may not remember.
Right.
Cutter was his OC here.
Right.
So they have a long-standing relationship, yes. And then he goes to Tampa, and he brings in Mike Smith. So I got to admit, I told Mike this today. That's got to be tough to know you got to fire your friend.
And Cutter said that was the hardest thing to do other than apparently lost a player when he was head coach at Boise State way back when. Hey, man, you're on the radio, bro. Best game so far this season.
Yeah, I'm gonna go with Stanford and Oregon just because Stanford don't have no fast, no speed burners on the team. But my bank account says Iowa State is the best game of the year because they won me a lot of money this past weekend.
Yes, I love Dana Holgorsen. You see what he said? The West Virginia coach, very unprofessional. Those fans to run on the field. They're college students, for crying out loud. Yeah,
by the way, pretender. West Virginia, they're pretenders.
Well, Holgorsen, that's his thing.
Pretenders. I mean, you know, you think they've got things in control, and all of a sudden,
by the way, that'll be our game winner tomorrow night. Coaches who look like they just walked out of an Indian casino at 2 in the morning.
I don't know if that'll go over well.
I don't know. I think Bob Huggins would get in the mix on that one.
I don't know if that'll go over well.
I think we get three or four guys out of that one. Hey, man, you're on the radio, bro. Best game of the year so far, college or pro?
My daughter Caroline's high school homecoming game from Cartersville High School.
There you go. There it is.
There you go.
Did they cover?
Would you stop it? What? Big shout out to all the high school athletes and high school football, man, and all the stuff that's going on. He's right on there. I dig that.
Right on. Hey, man, you're on the radio, bro. Best game of the year so far.
You know, it was a tough weekend for the Bulldog Nation, so I take solace in the fact that my 12-year-old son plays for the Johns Creek Gladiators. And they beat Sprayberry 46-0.
There you go.
Nice. That's a way to throw
it
down.
See, that's when you know football's serious in the South. Right. I'll tell you what. Our kids beat the hell out of those kids. That's when you know.
That's awesome, man. Oh, good job. By the way, speaking of Johns Creek and everything, we were up. We played golf at St. Marlow over the weekend. I told you at Bunk. Boy, you want to talk about military precision, how they get you out on time? There was a 9 o'clock tee time. We had a 9:09.
Yeah.
The guys... The starter comes over. Where's the 9 o'clock tee time? And there's a guy like, my friends aren't here. You're out. You, me, you're up. Whoa.
Keep it moving.
I'm like, hold on.
You know what? I respect starters like
that. I haven't got my beer yet in the cart. Hold on, man.
I respect guys like that. I like starters. If you're a starter at one of these golf courses, thank you for keeping things on time. There's nothing worse than people who are lagging.
Man, they ran a tight ship at St. Marlow and they got the job done. Hey, buddy, you're on the radio. What do you got for the best game of the year so far?
Hey, man, I got two. The first one when DeAndre Hopkins did the Xbox One spin move on them Cowboys and won the game in Houston. And the other one when that 2018 Chevy Camaro SS ran all over them Falcons and Drew Brees tried to do a Civic Genesis spin move.
Yeah, I don't remember that.
Good luck.
I don't know what you're talking about.
You can't afford a Camaro from New Orleans.
I don't really know what you're talking about.
Hang up on YouTube.
Is he still here? Did he miss the bus back?
I don't know. Get on that Megabus, pal. It's not going to drive itself. Hey, man, you got the final word, the best game of the year.
Hey, man. Cliff from Gainesville. I say it's Tennessee beating up on all.
Yeah. There you go.
Signature win for Jeremy Pruitt,
man.
And boy, Gus Malzahn, how you feel about that contract extension now, Auburn fans?
He's not going anywhere. He's not going anywhere.
Well, you can't. You can't buy him out.
$32 million. I put it out in my what I learned this weekend. You can't. He's not going anywhere. I know. And their fans are frustrated. Auburn fans are frustrated. And they should be.
We really thought Stidham and those guys, and if you go back to our shows in July and August, we really thought they were going to compete for the West this year.
All right, guys. We'll come back. We'll wrap things up here. We'll tell you what's coming up tomorrow on the show. And also, we got Monday Night Football here on 92.9 The Game.
Dukes and Bell are wrapping up another show. So, it's time for...
Coming up tomorrow on the program, guys, make sure you tune in. More about the Dogs, because it is a week where they get a chance to get some rest and recovery. But they'll start getting ready for Florida. We'll start talking about what that game means tomorrow. Also, more about the Falcons' injuries, Mike. Remember, everything kind of pushed back because of Monday Night Football. So the Falcons, in actuality, get an extra day. So hopefully some of these guys that we're hopeful for will be back on Monday night.
We catch up with Carlos Bocanegra. Normally we talk to Darren Eales. We'll switch it up. We'll talk to the technical director of Atlanta United. They're going to have a big 70,000-plus house for the final regular season game at Mercedes-Benz. Then we talk about the playoffs with Carlos and also the U.S. men's national team. And Goo's getting some action.
All right, man, let's go around the room and clear our throats. Monday Night Football, by the way, on the way. And pregame coming up at 7:30 with the kick at 8:15.
Fellow degenerate gambler, what's the injury status on the Packers receiver corps?
Allison ruled out, Geronimo Allison, and Randall Cobb ruled out as well. So
Devontae Adams still playing, right?
Yeah, Devontae Adams going.
That's all I need.
Mike Bell with the Packers -9 probably ruled out of a win as well.
Give
all right.
Aaron Jones the ball. That's what you got to do.
No, Devontae Adams. Go ahead, Brian.
All right. Anyways, college football over the weekend. College football game time. We gave you all of the upsets over the weekend except the UGA-LSU one. So Michigan State over Penn State was given out. Virginia over Miami, and Iowa State over West Virginia. So if you want to hear more genius, 9 to 12 on Saturday mornings, college football game time, right here on 99 The Game.
Just don't touch my bell. Bo Morgan, clear your throat!
Did John Chukri write that for you, or... All right, while most people were sleeping or watching the end of USC Colorado, Terrence Bud Crawford
Woo!
Took a guy to task for 12 rounds, and in the 12th round, the uppercut that could have been heard around the world if people were watching like me, which knocked this man down, and then he beat him to a pulp on the ropes, and the fight was over. The fact of the matter is, Terrence Bud Crawford is one of the top five fighters pound for pound in the world, if not the best. Mm. He needs to be recognized. Why doesn't he get the money like the Canelo Alvarez's? He should be the golden boy of boxing, because this man can fight.
He is.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.